Shocker, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm excellent. How was Bonneville?
Bonneville was good. It was cold. I mean, like everywhere. But, yeah, I certainly had a lot of respect for people who were lined up outside the building waiting to get in to watch Canada East play the United States in the final there. So they were lined up for a little while out there. It was, man, she was cold. But unfortunate result for Canada East. But it was a good trip.
Always fun. Did Button keep you in line?
Oh yeah, he's that guy, man. He just—it's amazing though. It's impossible to walk from one side of the rink to the other, stride in stride with him, because every 7 feet he stops and talks to somebody for 45 minutes. The guy knows everybody on the planet.
Edmonton Oilers, a victory over Tampa Bay on Saturday. Not the prettiest of victories, but no team has every win is a great one. But they got
sure.
the win. Now they head into St. Louis tonight, to where they get the benefit of facing a struggling backup in Carter Hutton. How do you feel they try to take advantage of that tonight?
Well, I mean, I think you just pound pucks on that. You just, when you know that a guy maybe isn't having a ton of confidence, you just put pucks on him, you make him second guess, dump him in from far, just anything you can do to make the guy, to just throw the guy off guard a little bit. But the Blues, overall, they're struggling a little bit. I think they've lost four of their last six. They've given up 14 goals in their last three games, 17 in their last four. I mean, they're, for a team that's supposed to boast a pretty rock solid blue line, they've been giving up quite a bit lately. So I think it's a tough building. The Oilers don't win there very much. And, but the way St. Louis is playing right now, if Edmonton can get their offense going, I think they definitely have a good chance against a team they've beaten already this year.
Well, it's interesting. The Blues, it's funny. Like, there's a big discrepancy so far this year if you look at goals against per game from the Oilers and the Blues from 1 year to the next. Because last year, of course, the Oilers were near the basement in that category. And they're now 13th. They are up. They were 295 last year, and they're at 2.67. So a pretty good increase there. The Blues, though, used to only give up 2.4 goals a game. They're now giving up 2.88, more than the Oilers so far. Like, that's a massive swing when you look at it both ways. Obviously, part of it's goaltending right now, because Jake Allen's being average at best and Carter Hutton's being even worse in goal. But, you know, this St. Louis team, they're scoring more goals. They're definitely giving up more chances than they have in the past.
Yeah, which probably not that Ken Hitchcock could have got any grayer, but that's not really the style that he wants to try and win with. That's not really his type of hockey necessarily. But, I mean, look, the Oilers have some guys that are going offensively. They've got a power play that's rolling really nicely right now, going at a great clip. They've got some confidence with the man advantage. So it's a team that they don't usually have a lot of success against, in a building they don't have a lot of success in. But the matchup is a little bit flipped on its head right now, and it's definitely an opportunity for them to pick up some more points here before they hit the Christmas break. Largely, it's the same lineup as last game, is it not? I mean, they pulled Beck out. I'm just wondering how long they're going to leave Puljujärvi out for. I know they needed to. I mean, they wanted to get Pouliot back in, but it's a few too many missed games for my liking now, as they're getting into the stretch before Christmas here.
Well, I'm guessing he'll play Wednesday against Arizona, and I'm guessing that he might play in San Jose, and then I would be very stunned if he's not sent down to Bakersfield afterwards. I think the reason why he's still here, Ryan, is because of the human element of sports, and he's gotten very comfortable here at learning the language, staying with an English-speaking family, and I don't think you want to send a kid down a week before Christmas to have him spend Christmas with nobody that he knows. Honestly, I think that's a big factor.
So you think they'll give him the Christmas break with the rest of the team and then send him down to the American League for, I don't know their schedule, but whatever games they begin with after Christmas?
Yes, that's what I'm guessing right now.
Yeah, and I guess maybe there's some sense to be made of that, but I'm not sure. I thought that given that break they had after the loss to Columbus with 3 days, I thought they were going to give the kid some consistent games. So I guess if they play him in Arizona and San Jose before the break, then fine. I suppose he would have played three of the four. But I mean, if they win, tonight's game? Are they going to change the lineup and move it around and pull him out?
Well, he's proven
or
that.
Or put him in? Or
yeah, I think he's shown he would do that before, right? Like, I think Eric Greib is in for Matt Benning, not because Benning's played bad. He did get a visit.
He got his bell rung then, did he not?
Yeah, but I also think listening to Todd McClellan before the game, I think they kind of had a plan on certain guys. I think Greib was going to play against St. Louis regardless, and then it just got maybe an easier decision because of having his bell rung.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess so. I mean, I just I know it's a tricky situation, and it's a delicate it's an 18-year-old player, the youngest player in the league. So, you know, you want to handle the situation carefully. But I also think that sending a guy down to the American Hockey League, just assuming he's going to shoot the lights out and do great, it can be a little bit of a dangerous thing as well. If you send a kid down there that already is struggling confidence-wise, and now he maybe doesn't produce or doesn't have the same type of players to play with down there, and he goes 7, 8, 10 games without really doing a whole lot down there, then it's not exactly setting him up for success. So we'll see. Well, I'd like to see him get into at least 2 games before Christmas here. I'm surprised that he's not playing, so that when he does go down, he can go down with a few games under his belt and maybe try and find some sort of confidence for him.
But if he's not having any confidence up here, if he plays 2 more games, why is that ultimately going to matter? Like, he hasn't scored since opening night. I don't think he has any offensive confidence. And I don't think anybody says, oh, you send Puljujarvi down, and oh, if he doesn't light it up, that suddenly that means it's a disappointment. No, he's got to go find offensive confidence, and I believe it's significantly easier to find it there than it is in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 5 points in the last 9 games he's played in the NHL, right? So, and he's the youngest player in the league. So, I mean, I don't know. I think he struggled a little bit handling the puck, and he's struggled a little bit making plays the last few games he's had. But I don't think that you fix that by sitting a guy out over and over and over again. I think giving him some consistent games is what's going to help him work through that. So he's already got the jitters in his hands. You got to play a guy through some of that. And I've agreed with most of what they've done up to this point. Like, I've been more on side with the way they've handled him. I don't like the fact he didn't play out of the 3-day break when everybody was fresh. And, I don't know. I think they should have him in the lineup.
Ryan Rashog from TSN. Yeah, if he's going to give you an opportunity, I guess, to benefit your team, and there's arguments to say that there's other guys definitely who wouldn't. I don't know if there's any argument right now on the like, if you're taking a guy on the right wing out, you're obviously not taking Eberle out. You're not taking Pitlick out. I don't think you're taking Zach Cassian out. So it would basically be Drake Kajula or him at this point.
No, I would be looking to put Puljujärvi in a position to succeed right now. So I would look at putting him into a spot where he's got some guys that he can play with. So whether it's you play Kajula on a fourth line instead, I'd be fine with Matt Hendricks out of the lineup so that Puljujärvi could be in right now. Like, I think it's more important for them to do right by Puljujärvi than by Hendricks right now. So if Hendricks has got to sit 4 out of 5 games for a player that age, that's fine. It's no big deal. I'd rather they be doing the right thing by Puljujärvi. And the more games they can give him, the more he can work through this issue he's having with his confidence in his hands. You can easily play him with Pouliot and Nugent Hopkins. You could easily play him with you could even play him with Maroon and Draisaitl. That line, they've played a little bit together. Give him an opportunity to work through this before you send him down to the minors. Because if you sit him 2 out of 4 games, basically plays 2 games over a 15-day stretch, and then he starts the American Hockey League, I don't know that that's a great setup for success. So I've agreed with most of what they've done up to this point, and I've been hesitant to criticize them on their handling of it. But this, I don't like what I'm seeing this last week or so. I think that they needed to put this player in a position to succeed, and then if the confidence wasn't there, to the American Hockey League he goes. But we'll see what they do in their next 2 games.
Now, here's my – and I think, honestly, like, Puljujärvi's – put him in a position to succeed. If it hinders your team, I don't agree with it. It's the NHL, and now I've made the argument from the get-go, I'd rather have him in the American League playing all the time. But if they're going to have him here and doing what they're doing, whether he misses a few games, I think in the long stage of his career, I don't think that impacts it as much as him getting comfortable off the ice and the other things. But right now, the Oilers needed to win, and you want to play him in a line to succeed. Well, then that usually means with offensive guys, and he hasn't scored a goal since opening night, so I'm not necessarily certain I would play him ahead of Tyler Pitlick right now or Jordan Eberle.
Yeah, and that's fair, and you don't necessarily even have to. I mean, you don't have to. You could play him. I mean, you could play him where Kajula's playing. You could play. You could even play him on the fourth line. The test who's been going pretty good lately. You could take Hendricks out. You could flip Cassian to the left side, and you can play Puljujärvi on the right side on a fourth line. So, listen, Todd is he's built his lineup tonight to try and beat St. Louis, and that's I understand that. I respect their need to do that. I don't necessarily disagree that in order to beat St. Louis tonight, the way he's got his lines shaped, maybe it's not the right fit, but they're doing more than just flat out every single night trying to win games. There is also another subtext here, and that's handling of a young player. And I don't think this is, I'm not screaming from the hilltops. I'm not saying they're being negligent. I'm saying I'd have been getting him in sooner. That I think after listening to Peter Chiarelli talk about the player, my sense was they wanted the player to get back in and to get going and to give him a little bit of a look. And I'm surprised that they haven't now. And I think it sets up for the player's confidence issues to not improve before getting sent to the American Hockey League, which will be a tough thing for him, even though maybe everybody sees it coming.
Reiner Schalk from TSN joins us. Speaking of guys going, Nugent Hopkins, man, like this is now, you know, it's not just a 20-game stretch, Ryan. Like, you look at his numbers last season, the even strength in this year. This is now an extended lack of offensive punch from 93 at 5-on-5.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to say about it. Like, Ryan is a cerebral player. He's not a powerful player. I think he's got really good speed, but he doesn't really challenge people off the rush at all. He's not a threatening player off the rush at all. So it seems to me earlier in his career, and maybe we've just gotten used to it, I'm not sure. It seems to me we used to sit there and go, oh, like once or twice a game from little nifty little plays, little things that Ryan would do, show he was thinking the game on another level. And I don't see those things anymore. I don't see, and maybe it is because we've gotten used to it. But Ryan, earlier in his career, would do things that made him look like he was a special player. And now he's a good player. But I don't think anybody expected Ryan Nugent-Hopkins to just be a good player. And I'm not sure where that confidence went. I'm not sure where that wow factor went, where that creativity went. He's just not a dangerous offensive player anymore. And I'm not sure why. But I don't think we can sugarcoat the fact that that's not in his game and hasn't been for some time now. The best he's looked was at the World Cup. But he's failed to translate that into NHL success, and he's failed to bring his high-end two-way game with him if the offense wasn't going to be there. And this is a player that's maybe a little bit lost right now and trying to figure it out. And it's unfortunate for the Oilers because with McDavid going the way he is and Draisaitl going the way he is, I know not everybody can be going at once. But they really need Ryan Nugent-Hopkins to be a more effective player than he's been.
Schalker, should be an interesting one tonight. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good, buddy.
It's Ryan Schalk from TSN.